have to wait for Shannon to introduce us anyways.
Okay, I think we're live. Welcome, everybody. We're so excited to have you here today for another one of our Future Ready Librarian webinars. And I'm really excited to have our guest with us today, too. I'm going to go ahead and open up the slides so we can kick it off by sharing those. Okay, Becky, can you see my slides?
Yes.
Okay, good. I always like to check because I want to make sure that everybody can see them really good. And today we're excited too because we get to talk about one of my favorite things, and that is building instructional partnerships. And as you know, we've had several of these this year, and I will go through those and share the links as well. But today, to have our special guest talk about this one is going to be a great way as we get towards the end of the year too. My name is Shannon McClintock-Miller. I am the Future Ready Librarian and Project Connect spokesperson. You can find me on Twitter at Shannon M. Miller, and I will be kind of tweeting behind the scenes as our guests are sharing their stories. And you can also find me at the Library Voice where I blog, and my email is there too. So please feel free to reach out if you have any questions today or anytime. I'm so happy to help you. And I was a district teacher librarian in Van Meter, Iowa for almost 10 years, working with teachers and students and parents in kindergarten through 12th grade. And so I had a lot of experience when it came to building instructional partnerships. And that's one reason why I'm so passionate about this, because it's one I think of the most important pieces of the Future Ready framework. And so I'm excited to hear their story, and hopefully we'll have time too for some questions from all of you. And if you have any comments or stories to share, as well as we're talking, please feel free to share them too. Now, before we go any further, I want to give our guests a chance to introduce themselves, and we're just going to stay on the slide. You'll get to actually see them in just a little bit, but Becky, why don't you and your group go ahead and start, since in the picture you're the closest one to me.
Okay. So I'm Becky Calzada. I'm the District Library Coordinator in Leander ISD, a fast growth district just northwest of Austin, Texas.
And I'm Sandy Liptak, and I'm the librarian at Baghdad Elementary, one of the elementary schools in Leander.
Hi, I'm Zandra Lopez. I'm at Vandergrift High School in Leander.
Okay, and Susanna, go ahead with your team.
I'm Susanna Panner. I am the program manager for school libraries in Tacoma Public Schools.
I'm Dawn Bachman. I'm a teacher librarian at Jason Lee Middle School in Tacoma.
And I'm Charmaine Norton. I teach language arts and social studies, eighth grade and seventh grade.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody, for being with us today. And as I said, if you have questions as we go, we're watching our Twitter feed, and so feel free to post them to Future Ready Libs, just using that hashtag. And as always, using the hashtag, if you, during the week or today I went to a conference and it was so fun to use it, anytime that you want to engage or share things in this conversation, it's so wonderful to see what is happening there. And also just by using the Future Ready hashtag and our Twitter too for Future Ready. I also put a link to the bottom just for the Future Ready Librarian page. It's always a great thing to bookmark because we'll add like this webinar and the resources that we're using and different materials that you might need to reference and to refer to throughout the year as well. And so you'll find those there. Now, as I said, today we're going to look at that piece of curriculum instruction and assessment that has to do with building instructional partnerships. And we have already had a webinar where we focused on empowering students as creators. And so this one really pairs up nice to what we've learned so far in that wedge too. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Suzanne and her team. And just to let you know, when you guys were introducing yourselves, you were a little shaky on the sound. So just make sure when you're done presenting and your other two are presenting that you're in front of that speaker.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to share our slides. All right, wonderful. You all can see? Are we good? Okay, so in Tacoma, we have we talk about the three T's of instructional partnerships: training, time, trust, and teamwork. And when I first came to Tacoma last year, we spent a lot of time on the first T, training. Because what I have found moving here from the East Coast is that a lot of our school librarians didn't have a lot of background in training when it came to instructional partnerships. So right away, we set out to rectify that. And I got to choose 9 schools to have a pilot program with. And we spent 6 days together learning the guided inquiry design process. And also just spending time collaborating with each other. It was not very many times available during the school year for our teacher librarians to get together to talk. And they shared a lot of ideas, but they also shared a lot of concerns, particularly around instructional partnerships. Many of them complained a lot about time. And having an instructional partnership takes a lot of time. So we worked really hard this year, particularly in our elementary schools, which that are still under a fixed schedule, to try to build in time to the schedule for collaboration. So we, as you can see in this picture, there are some empty times where the teacher librarian can have classes come sign up to do some collaboration. But in order to have the collaboration, you have to build trust. And that's something that our teacher librarians are trying very, very hard to do with their classroom teachers. Because our teacher librarians have kind of been used as a drop-off model that's prevalent in a lot of the country, and not more as a flexible model where they were already viewed as instructional partners, it's taken a long time for them to build that trust with their classroom teachers. Because the classroom teachers, just like our administrators, don't quite understand what a Futurity librarian does. So we're still going to each teacher librarian for resources, but not really help with instruction. So through the training that we've had and planning sessions that we've had since then, we've kind of tried to work hard to build up our teacher librarians so they can act a little bit like an instructional coach, but more as a friend in helping our teachers really get the best out of their students. By using technology, we are a Microsoft district, so all of our teacher librarians are working really hard to earn their MIE trainer certification and are learning all of the Microsoft applications to help the teachers with their students. And we're also just learning, again, a lot of in-depth work with guided inquiry design and how we can build our research projects with our teachers, with the content that our teachers are bringing from the classroom, but using all of the resources and learning models that we have in the library. So this is a growing time. This is my second year here, and we've already seen such huge differences in the way that our teacher librarians are partnering with our classroom teachers. So the last T is teamwork. So you can have all the training, you can have the time put in your schedule, and you can try to build that trust with relationships with your classroom teachers. But it really takes teamwork to make it happen. So with that, I'm going to introduce Dawn and Tremaine. And they are, Dawn is a teacher librarian at Jason Lee Middle School, and she was part of our pilot. So she got to go through the 6 days of training with me and some subsequent conferences and training around instructional partnerships and how to really collaborate with her classroom teacher. And Charmaine is one of the classroom teachers that she collaborated with.
Bachman, you can see in my picture. And I'm Charmaine Norton, curly haired on. Oh, you're right. So this is just kind of some information for us if you wanted to know kind of our roles. Yeah, so as Susanna mentioned, we use the framework of guided inquiry design model. So as she mentioned, that we had 6 days of training on this process. And this process is not necessarily a different process, but it's more involved. Where if you look at this model, the last 3 stages would be kind of your typical model of, or actually the last 4 phases of this would be your typical model that you would probably use in the classroom. And so we focused very heavily on the first 4 of them when we looked at the open, the immerse, the explore, and then the identify part of this model. And I think this model worked really well for our classroom setting, with Charmaine actually also being a social studies teacher.
Yeah, it was really helpful as a social studies teacher and as new to social studies last year when Don approached me about collaborating. I absolutely jumped on it because not only was it an opportunity to collaborate with a team member, it helped give me focus, and it really did jive well with some of the requirements that we have to do in our social studies classes. So the guided inquiry design really blended well with, we have to do what's called a classroom-based assessment, Washington State, and we were focusing on researching constitutional issues. So the process of guided inquiry really enabled us to look at what that meant to our students and have them become a little more literate with the digital resources that we have and go through the process of really digging in to the research.
And then one of the things that we addressed when we took a look at our school is a national AVID demonstration school. And what AVID means is it's college ready, yes. Skills where we actually provide ongoing organization skills. And one of this example that we're showing here is actually one of our students last year who actually took Cornell notes, which are two column notes, and going through the process of understanding during the open phase of the second time around that we did use the guided inquiry model. And then when we had talked about this, what we kind of realized too, this is the second model that we used, and in this process we didn't necessarily use above and beyond strategies that we're using already at our school. We were using things that we were already using, and then we used the guided inquiry as our design or as our base, as our model. And what was great is that we both started on the same level so that we could continue on.
Yeah, the guided inquiry blended really well with our AVID strategies. It was super easy once we started talking about it to see what stages or what phases of the guided inquiry would work well with the strategies that we're required to use with AVID. So, and as Don had mentioned, this what you see on the screen right now is our second round. It was a huge learning process. We were able to reflect constantly since primarily the class was at the end of the day, but we did meet regularly on our planning periods. So the teamwork is huge. We definitely had to put in the time, but it was such valuable time because we not only did I learn what an amazing resource our librarian is. Susanna had mentioned how a lot of teachers come to the librarians for resources, but our teacher librarians are an amazing resource themselves. And it was really incredible to get to know, build that relationship with Dawn professionally, personally, and it does, it builds, we mentioned trust earlier, it's huge. I know that she had my back, I have her back, and we were in it together every step of the way, making sure we reflected, making sure that we are teaching with intention. And we learned a lot. First round, we definitely made some missteps. Choosing our topic was something that was interesting to us, but was not necessarily as interesting as we thought it would be for our students. So it definitely could have gone better. But it was great that we were able to say, okay, well, what did go well? What do we need to work on? And model our second semester class around what we learned. And second semester was much more successful. We were even more intentional about the open phase of the guided inquiry. And it was exciting, actually. It was really exciting. And to see the students, how we had a very tough class. And a lot of SPED kiddos in there, a lot of behavior kiddos in there. And
very low socioeconomic as well, and so our population is very diverse.
Yes,
very diverse in the sense that we have people here who are homeless, we have families of like minorities, in terms of just the different spectrum of students. And so then also one of the things as we one of the phases of it, this is the end part where it's evaluate. And Charmaine and I actually on a regular basis, we evaluated, which was really kind of fun to see at our school. We have actually established where colleagues actually can watch each other. We trust each other, talking about Susanna, talking about trust piece, that risk taking. We have created the culture at our school where we feel comfortable going and talking to other people about this work, did this not work? What do you think we could have done better? So taking a look at this phase of having instructional partnerships, I think it's key to make sure that you have that trust. And it doesn't just start overnight. When I did this, I started with one person. I started with Charmaine. She was coming into my library already for her language arts classes. And I just like, hey, why not? Let's try this. And she was willing and open. And so we gave it a shot, and we did have the first time around, as she was saying, it wasn't as successful, but then the second time around, it was really successful. And one of the features that I do like about this guided inquiry is it asks the students to evaluate how they learn, to think about what did they learn? Was this process like a good process for them, or do they need a different way to learn? So.
Yeah, and it was actually surprising how honest the students were. So not only did they evaluate their own process and their learning, they evaluated themselves on their final projects. And I would say 99% of them were extremely honest in their self-assessment and their self-assessment on their projects. I think one thing with the instructional partnerships, something else that is valuable, not only for teachers, I feel it was really valuable for our students to see Dawn as not just the librarian. They saw her in the classroom, they saw her contributing, saw her more in the light of a teacher because she is a teacher. And I think that's extremely powerful in our schools that's a misconception or an understanding that more students need is librarian is more than just a librarian.
And so one of the things that we're looking at this year is continuing with our training, and we're going to hopefully do more of our guided inquiry process with her classes this year as well.
Thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Okay, Miss Becky, now it's your turn to share the screen.
Okay, so we're working on getting the screen shared.
There you go.
So All right, so just a little bit of background. Oops, we need to get to where we're going to be. Just a little bit of background about us. So Leander ISD is northwest of Austin, Texas, and we are a fast growth district, meaning that we probably get in about 1,000 students every year, minimum. And of course, with along that, we've got teachers, new librarians, and staffing that's all constantly growing. So one of the things that is important to us is that making sure that we're very intentional about what we're doing. And so one of the things that we do constantly is to just really focus on our mission in terms of how we're going to support teachers. And for us, it's about some key components, including building leadership capacity in our librarians, information literacy, focusing on that instructional design, tech integration, and of course, just literacy. So our program, we really want to support the curriculum, but also all the stakeholders that are involved. So that would be students, teachers, administrators, the community too. And so really at the bottom line of what we do, it's about the relationships, but also because we feel strongly that once you form those relationships, that's where the learning happens, that's where the partnerships happen. So that really maximizes the growth. So for us, in terms of our purpose, you know, we are very intentional. Of course, we're looking for opportunities within our curriculum to insert where library services can support. K through 12, we have information literacy in our curriculum. And so it's important for me as the coordinator to look for those opportunities in partnering with our current content folks to make sure they see, they know the resources that we have, but I also partner with them on greater things, like for instance, initiatives that we have. So if we're doing something with literacy, I've partnered with our language arts and intervention people to collect, to look at book drives and inform students and teachers and help them to build an understanding for the summer reading loss and reading and how important reading every day is. I also partner with our technology services department. And for us, it's really, for me, it's more about making sure that we keep a pulse on the changes that are happening with regard to technology, because we are a one-to-one at our secondary campuses. And so our librarians are on the front lines to support that. Also too, I think about partnerships that impact instruction in an indirect way. So people like purchasing, in our purchasing department, that's a very important partnership for me, because if my librarians see a new tool or their teachers reach out to them about a new tool, those partnerships are invaluable, because I can take those opportunities to go visit with purchasing to share, this is the instructional impact it's going to have. So it's an indirect way, but it's an important way, because that's how we extend the learning in the classroom. So like I said, at the really key and the heart of the instructional partnerships is the relationships. And so I always tell librarians, whether you're new or returning, especially for new, building a relationship is so important. And it is one of the key cornerstones of our district. If you talk to anybody here, they'll tell you about how, even though we are a very large district, you know people, you know one another, and that's really important to us. So Sandy's gonna talk to you a little bit about the instructional partnerships that happen at the elementary level and at her campus.
Hello, everyone. So on the left-hand side on the screen, you're going to see an interesting little creature that appeared in our backyard. And my husband and I became very fascinated to the point where we started to do our own little mini research project outside of what I'm doing with the kids in the classroom. And my husband and I went and found information online and determined that this was a Texas spiny lizard, and that it was actually a female because it did not have any blue on its belly. And so I took this picture. The more we stayed outside with it, the more it got used to my husband and I, even to the point where my husband could get pretty close to it with the video camera and it would just literally turn its face and give you a full-on profile of it. I took it to my class and my students, and I showed them a picture, and I asked them if they had any questions, and they started off firing, you know, well, what kind of lizard is it? How big is it? And so I started writing all their questions down. And that was kind of my way to introduce them to the research process and kind of going through the big six steps. And so step one was all about asking questions. And from there, I told them, well, we went and got books. We went and actually interviewed and called a gentleman at the University of Texas here in the reptile department to find out more specific information about this type of lizard. And so as they were firing questions, I was sharing the research that my husband and I had found and showing them how the next step of after asking questions, you find your resources, you figure out where you can find those resources, and then you start taking notes. And so through this little visitor to our backyard, my kids became very excited about research, and this led to me actually doing research with kinder through fifth grade all at the same time, which was a little bit more than I could chew at the time, but it ended up turning out fantastic because from this, I had them go to our databases and they got to go explore and find something that they were interested in. And some of them even went and said they spent the day outside in their backyard to see if they could find something that they might want to research. So this whole lizard came up again last year. And I brought a second picture of what we call her Liz, what Liz looked like. And the kids right away noticed that her tail was missing, but also part of her toe. And so we started asking more questions, which led that whole group to another round of research the following year. Well, sadly, we did not see Liz since December of last year. And the kids this year came in right away on open house. Have you seen Liz? Have you seen Liz? And I sadly had to tell them no, that I'm holding on to a tiny secret. We don't have Liz any longer, but we do have a Lizlet. My husband and I caught a photo of a tiny 3-inch baby Texas spiny lizard that is now in our backyard. And we actually have a photograph of her on the same stair on our patio that Liz used to hang out. So we're pretty sure we're gonna go with that she's her baby and that the story can continue. And so as soon as we start our research in the classrooms, I'll be sharing that photo with them, and that will hopefully spur on them getting excited about another whole research project. So research was one of the main partnerships that I've done with pretty much all grade levels. And in talking to other librarians around the district, research is one of the main ways that we can definitely support the classroom teachers. Every grade level has to do research in some way or fashion. And so that's just a natural collaboration that we can form with the teachers and support them in the classroom. The other picture on the right-hand side is actually a World Read Aloud Read Across the World event that I kind of collaborated with the grade level teachers, and we did an entire school event to celebrate World Read Aloud Day. And I collaborated and got the teachers from the lower grades, K-1 and 2, to pair up with a third, fourth, and fifth grade class. And for specials time, while the kids were at specials, the younger kids were at specials, the older kids came and joined them and brought books that they had been practicing reading, and they paired up with some of the younger kids and spent about 20 to 30 minutes taking turns reading books and just kind of enjoying a whole day of reading. And it turned out fantastic, and the kids have actually already asked, are we going to do that again this year? So that tells me it was a big hit. One other way that I have been fortunate enough at Baghdad to support our school with literacy and our community is I was contacted through the Rotary Club of Cedar Park, and they were wanting to work together with a school in Leander to support literacy. And they actually gave us a grant of $870, and we were able to purchase books through Scholastic and do a literacy night, and were able to give away those books to the kids that came to literacy night. And then we ended up having a little bit of books left over, and those went home with the kids as part of our summer reading program. Luckily, they contacted me again this year, and we are going to work with them as well on our next literacy night coming up in November. And they've already got the forms filled out, ready to get volunteers to come in to support that night, as well as a donation for money toward books as well. So one of those key relationships that we've actually taken that step outside of our Baghdad community and gone outside into the Cedar Park community as well. I'm also a part of the academic leadership team, which is one grade level rep from each of the departments at our school. This year it's called Guiding Coalition, so we can kind of form more of a strategic targeting toward the things that we need to work on at our campus. And that also allows me to see at every meeting, I'm able to speak directly to the team leaders and hear what they're doing in the classroom and how I can go ahead and support them in the library as well. And next is going to be Zandra from Vandegrift High School. Oh, I'm sorry, I have one more piece, my bad. Other librarians gave us some information on things that they're doing. A lot of us do the research and supporting the classroom teachers, but obviously the other part that we do is helping with just general reading skills and understanding differences in genres, and that is another part that we try to help out when we know that the teachers are doing historical fiction in the classroom. We try to go ahead and show the kids where that section in the library is. We point out different styles of the books and help the classroom teachers find maybe really good read alouds that would fit those targeted skills as well. And then the last part is we always try to find new technology to bring in to the library. And then by through the library, the kids bring it back to the teachers who may not be as comfortable with technology. And we have used Flipgrid, doing book trailers and book discussions. Some teachers are also, we started Biblionasium this year, and my kids have gone crazy with that. So just any type of new technology we can introduce to the kids as part of our library lessons that they can then bring back to their teachers. And I know a lot of us also offer after school trainings on anything that they hear that we're doing in the library that they can then learn more about. Now is Zandra.
Hi, my name is Zandra. I'm at Vandegrift High School, and I have always considered myself a teacher librarian. Just gonna share a few of the powerful tools that help me to engage teachers and form partnerships. I use LibGuides and LibCal very heavily. I customize different LibGuides depending on the lesson for different teachers. LibCal has given me a whole new world because not only do students and staff get to schedule my time, but they also get to schedule different spaces in the library. And we've worked towards creating a library commons with different areas so students and teachers can schedule that time. But we are very research heavy in the library, or at Vandegrift High School. And just gonna share a couple stories. Project Lead the Way was, they were researching nanotechnology and they were creating a prototype for, the students had to create the prototype. Well, I had just gotten a 3D printer, so I talked to the teacher, and what we ended up doing was we decided to use Tinkercad, and the library has three collaboration tables that students then were able to design and basically create their prototype. And I sat on their board when they presented, and they had to present their findings. So that was a really interesting and new partnership from Project Lead the Way. But we had the Sprout set up and the students printed their own projects, sometimes successful and sometimes not. But for us, it was more about the learning process because some of the designs did not quite come out as they intended. So that was a great experience. All right, and this is just an example of our collaboration tables. Basically, a student can, up to four students can be plugged in and they can be, all view the screen. They can, this particular table has a four split, so they can put four splits at one, or four different screens at once, or in this case, they just have the one screen and they're using Tinkercad to design their nanotechnology. So that's one of the partnerships with science. My most, probably the partnership I've had the longest is with my ELA teachers. And we do a lot of research throughout the curriculum units. The biggest, I wanna say we've always done this. We've always taught databases. We've been the administrator for Turnitin, for Noodle Tools. We've always had a good partnership. But I think last year, what came around was the AP Capstone program. And even though we have these lessons every year with our ELA teachers, the students weren't understanding the research process. And even though we work so hard, I mean, sometimes we have 27 sections of an English class that we teach, there was no retention. So the big aha moment came with the AP Capstone program. And that in turn created a partnership that, I mean, it's my PLC. We really value each other's opinion, and we have created a culture of, I want to say the partnership is about research and student choice, student reflection, student empowerment, and it has changed the research process before us. It's changed the research process for us. What we are doing now is more authentic learning than ever was before. And so I value that partnership. And we have it's a AP Capstone, if you're not aware, it's a certificate, and it has an AP seminar class and an AP research class. The AP seminar class is a lot about teaching argument and how to support your argument with good sources. It's more complicated than that, but they have different presentations and individual group things they have to create, and that's basically their AP exam. So one of the powerful things that teachers and I experienced was we couldn't leave feedback as we normally did. And so a lot of the students had to figure out how to make their presentation, their paper better with guidance, but not extreme feedback like we're used to. Now the AP research class is actually research methodology, which is super exciting. I've never been able to do that in all the years I've been teaching. So the teacher and I are actually modeling research, and our question that we're trying to get other teachers is, how can we create more authentic research opportunities for our students? Instead of it being a unit, what are the strategies we can use out there? So it is, there's more retention. I know some of the other librarians use breakout boxes, and we've done some really exciting ones. We've created a Harry Potter breakout. I created a breakout for my new teachers where they had to learn all about my high school, and they went around the building. One of our teachers just did a Martos with her teachers during in-service, and they are hooked. So I've also done an AP government. The kids are very engaged, and it's actually a really great partnership, because not only are you adding another layer to what you can do, the teachers really look forward to not only planning that out with you, but you being support there for them.
And that's all from us.
Very good. Unmuted. You guys having terrible people. Okay, I'll just go ahead.
Unless somebody.
We're just having technical
difficulty.
Let's see. I'll wait for a second to. Okay. That is perfect. Now I can hear. Sorry, everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and share this again. I had to smile when you were telling the story about the little lizard, because one of my favorite collaborative projects was with kindergartners once. And we did these great research projects, and we always studied Iowa animals. And one year we just happened to find this blue salamander, like out in the country in Iowa. I had no idea that salamanders even lived in Iowa. Well, one of the little boys, through all this collaboration that we did with his parents and with the Conservation Center in Iowa and with the teachers and myself, and of course the little kindergartner being in charge, found out that the blue salamander actually migrates in Iowa across this highway every year close to Van Meter. And so it was so ironic that you told that story, because that was also one of my favorite times, I think, that I collaborated with a classroom and with kids and with teachers. And so I was excited to hear that. And you all had so many things to share. One thing that I would just like to ask, and we'll just leave our slides on before we share a few things, is one of the questions was how, and this was something that also came up a lot for me, and I think that I tried really, really hard and as a teacher to really infuse this into our community of learners, was, what do you do if you have a teacher who just doesn't want to collaborate and doesn't want you to do anything to, you know, bring to the table? Do you have any suggestions for the people watching that could be helpful?
Well, one thing I would say is, the more you can get the kids excited about it, the better they're going to be convincing the teacher that the teacher needs to get on board. I did have a teacher once that would say, okay, what you do with Mrs. Liptak stays in the library. I'm not a tech person. But the kids were the ones that ended up getting that teacher, and she felt like she wasn't being judged by me, I guess, that she didn't know technology very well. But the kids were actually the ones convincing her she needed to try this out because it was so cool.
Yeah, that is really
good advice.
So I would say to just move on. There are so many there would be too much work for any one person if you actually serviced every single person in your building in a deep collaboration. So I think being the best model you can be by showing that teacher what you're doing with other teachers is the best way of selling yourself to them. And you, there are going to definitely be people that aren't going to take what you're offering. And that's a shame for the kids, and it's a shame for the teachers because they're missing out on great opportunity, but it's not really your place, or you frankly just don't have the time to worry about those people. You need to focus on the ones that want your help and that are willing to work with you to grow their students.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I think that, you know, one thing that I did too is, instead of getting held up on maybe that one grade level or one class or teacher that didn't want to collaborate, what I would do is try to do this awesome project and awesome collaboration to really show off and be able to kind of sell it to the people who maybe weren't getting on board yet or who weren't engaged. And just like you said, you know, when the kids start seeing that and the teachers start seeing that, and even the parents, because you're sharing your story all over your community and with everyone, I think that what happens is it just builds like wildfire, and eventually, hopefully, they get, you know, sucked up in it too, that you can, they could be part of that as well. But that is kind of a tough thing. And I think that because we care so much that it's hard for us sometimes just to move on, but super good advice. And another thing that came up in a question, and I thought about this too, and both of the groups mentioned some tools, but when you're collaborating, one thing that was really helpful to me too wasn't just the digital resources that I was sharing, the things that I had in my collection or the things that I was finding online, but also with the use of technology and digital tools and different apps. Sometimes that was not only a good selling point for me to be able to find something, you know, that really tied into the instruction and tied into what we were trying to do, but it was also a good way for me to teach skills like digital citizenship and information literacy and all those skills too. So a couple that I saw today were Flipgrid that you used, and I can't remember, there was another one that popped into my head, but one of the questions we had was, are there other digital tools that are out there that you would recommend using when you're collaborating with your teachers and with your kids too? Becky, how about your group? Anything?
What did I do? I made a mistake here. Sorry. Okay. So one of the things that I would say is, well, definitely utilizing Google Docs. Google Classroom are some great things that you can use, especially for collaborating. You know, there are going to be a lot of times where you can't really get away, but it doesn't mean you can't collaborate via something like Google Docs or that sort of thing. So I know that's important. I mean, that's a tool we could use. I know there's all kinds of tools that librarians are using that teachers say or become more curious about, things with, you know, green screens or book tools in terms of like creative book creation or anything that allows for that creative sense. Because I think for us too, what's important is we really, when we utilize technology, we really want to take it to from more than a substitution level. We want kids creating, we want kids doing things, and then so it's important for us to be those teachers for the teachers and to model those kinds of things and also listen to them as they plan their lessons, to give them suggestions about some tools. I mean, it's interesting because sometimes a teacher will say, well, I'm really looking for something like this, and then it'll kind of cause us to go start searching, and we do find something that will meet their needs. And so it really truly is kind of just point of need kind of service, but then just kind of being open, and also I think too, not being afraid of new tools, because I think that, you know, technology is just changing so fast. So any opportunities we can get to learn about new tools, whether it's through a conference or just via webinar or a tweet, it's definitely helpful.
And I have just something to add to that. I know teachers right now are so flooded with things that they have to do that sense of time seems to be taken away more and more. And so as much as I can do a quick little video, hey, we just got this new thing called Biblionasium, and here's a quick video on how to get started and what I've shown the kids. And then I put that out in a S'more newsletter and send that out to my whole campus. I try to do one like a couple of times every 9 weeks just to kind of say, hey, here's what we've done. Here's kind of some things that are coming. And if you'd like more information, I'm happy to talk with you. But if you're stressed for time, then just watch this quick video and get kind of the gist of it. That's another way that I've tried to help introduce new different technologies that we've been using.
Yeah, great.
So one of the things that Susanna had alluded to earlier was that our district. I think our sound is not working so well. All right. So our district uses Microsoft Office tools. Most of our librarians in our district are being trained on those products or on the applications. And so we are actually being trained by staff.
Maybe what we can do here in a tweet afterwards. And so sorry about that, everybody. I'm not sure what is happening with the sound today, but it has become a problem. And so we'll have you share in a tweet just so we can spare everybody the craziness of the sounds. But I loved all those suggestions, and one thing I thought about when Becky and her group, that they were speaking, great idea on like giving like a s'more, or even having your kids do like a little flip video, you know, to share new tools. That is a great way to collaborate because there's not a ton of time always to find those little pockets of time that we can share new tools and things like that. And so really good reminders for us on how to do that. And definitely that was one of kind of my ins with a lot of the teachers, where when you find, you know, those tools are that perfect fit for the thing that they're looking for. And so thanks for sharing those ideas. And just a few important keys that I want to share at the end, just so you have some resources and tools that you can take with you for the next couple months before we meet again in our next webinar, is I want to remind you about the Future Ready Librarian page. And this, we have just great things on here, more and more things added all the time on resources and information and the webinars and links that you can get to the content and the research that you need to. Also take part, and I mentioned this in the beginning, in the conversation that's going on Twitter. And just by using the Future Ready Libs hashtag and also the Future Ready Schools, we have a Twitter account. So following those two places, I learn so much every day. And of course, taking part too in the wonderful TL chat that we've had around for a long time is something that, in conjunction with all of these, we're learning so much. I can't say enough about the Future Ready Librarian Facebook page. It is now, I took a screenshot of it just before the webinar, we're almost up to 12,000 members. And it is great because you can really find just so many new resources and conversations going on all the time. And it's really nice because over on the left-hand side, kind of halfway down, there is a search this group. And if you put in there, say that you see something and you want to go back to it, or maybe you want to look up like ideas to collaborate or digital tools to use in collaboration, look up and search the group on what people are already sharing. And it's amazing how well that works, because it does pull out those conversations and makes it a little bit easier to shift through all of the things that are being shared in our group. And so if you aren't already, please join the Future Ready Librarian Facebook group. Also on Instagram, if you are using Instagram, use the Future Ready Libs hashtag. I love what's being shared here, and it's just so fun to see what is happening in everyone's library, and we go to conferences. And it was great because at SLJ Summit just a few weeks ago, it was really fun to be able to watch what was happening with our Future Ready Librarian group. We also have a Future Ready Librarian collection by Destiny, and these are the new collections that we can create in Destiny, but this is a public one that I started. And if you are interested in collaborating, there's already, I think, about 10 people that are in this group that are adding resources to it. Please let me know and I'll add you too. It's just a great way to share resources. And really, I love how easy it is too, when you find them, to be able to put them into a collection. We also put together this Padlet, and Padlet is awesome now because it's organized into columns. And so this one I just organized into columns underneath all of the different gears, and then different things, maybe it's presentations or events or tools that we might be using, and of course the webinar and the resources that we will be sharing too from this. A couple weeks ago, I also thought it'd be really handy to have a Symbaloo, because then we could keep everything, the collection and the Padlet and all of the websites and information on here. And even on the bottom, you'll see the webinars that you can get to. And so if you even just bookmark this, you'll be able to get to everything that we have been sharing and everything that you need there. Now, tonight we had our second to last webinar of the year, and on December 12th, we have our next one. And I'm so excited about that. But in between, we have a couple more institutes. And these have been great. I just got back from Philadelphia. Next week, I go to New Orleans, and it's been wonderful to meet so many librarians, not only from those areas, but from around the country. And so we have New Orleans and Sacramento and Detroit coming up yet this year. These are free two-day events, and we have had such great groups of future-ready librarians, but also have had so much fun collaborating with the other strands of future-ready too. And so please, if you can't come to an institute, follow along too on Twitter, because we're sharing a lot of things during those as well. I also really encourage you to go on to the Future Ready site and download this poster. It is in two different sizes, and One of them you can put up, it's a little bit bigger. One of them is small enough, even would fit into like your mailboxes in school. And put them up and let people know what you do. We can't tell our school communities enough what we do as Future Ready Librarians. And so this is a great way, a great conversation starter with your administrators and your teachers and your kids and even your parents on the different roles that we have. Also, the stickers, a lot of people have asked, like, how do I put a little badge, you know, on my signature on the side of my blog? And in this post, and that's also in the Symbaloo, you'll find these that you can add to. Now, I wanted to remind you of the sixth webinar and tell you what it's about. And we're going to talk about cultivating community partnerships. And I'm very excited. I'll share pretty soon who the guests are because we're waiting for one more to confirm. But I think it's going to be a nice thing to talk about as we go into the holiday and just cultivating those community partnerships that we have. Like I said, all of the webinars from the first one and second, third, and fourth, and the one that we're having today are all on the Alliance site and also on our Future Ready Librarian page and that Symbaloo that I showed. So you'll be able to get to all of them from there. We also started Twitter chats a couple months ago, and the ones coming up in November and December are listed here, but you can also go to the archives of the one that we had last week when two of our friends talked about collaboration and tying into what the webinar was going to be tonight. And then in September, we had two of our other Future Ready Librarian friends talk about From Library to Learning Commons, because we talked about designing collaborative spaces in that webinar. And so the archives are linked in here, and you'll have those links afterwards when we share the slides as well. And so check those out, and please participate in November and December. And let me know if you ever want to be a host of those Twitter chats, because I'm always looking for people to help too. Like I said in the beginning and throughout, please share your stories and share what is happening from collaboration to all the great things you're doing using the hashtag FutureReadyLibs and just getting connected and supporting what we do, not just in our library, but throughout too. So I thank all of you for being here. We're really sorry about what was wrong with the sound tonight. It was perfect. We got on over an hour before and we were great, but it was still just a wonderful hour and we learned so much from you. And so thanks for sharing with us, and we will see you next time.